All right. If we got any visitors here this morning, I think I recognize every face from at least one time before. But if I'm wrong, you look in the pouch in the chair in front of you. There should be an envelope with a form and a pen in it. And we would really appreciate it if you'd fill that form out. Let us know who you are, how we can reach you, tell you how much we enjoyed having you be here, and welcome you back and answer any questions you got about us. So please fill that out for us and put it in the basket on the door, by the door on the way out this morning. Thank you very much.
Morning, folks.
Good morning.
I'm going to do announcements first this week because I'm always supposed to do announcements first, but I always forget it. So, announcements. Prayer meeting. Prayer meeting every Sunday at 9 a.m. Go through this door right here, back off in there. Mr. Ray North here and Miss Ruth North are usually in there, kind of lead that. Everyone is welcome. Come on up, and nothing's off limits. You can pray for anything. Women's Bible study. I don't see Terry here this morning, but Terry Buckler leads that. They're on a 2-week break right now. It will resume on July 11th. It's at 6:30 p.m. I think they have it back in this back room over here, same place they do prayer and reading, I think. Am I right, ladies? Okay. And you men, if you wish to come up here, Ray's usually up here, and y'all can talk while it's going on. Discuss the things of the world, solve the problems of the world like men do whenever we're together. We do not gossip, ever. Wednesday night Bible service, that's at 6 p.m. every Wednesday night. Everyone's welcome. I think Ray usually handles those duties. We have a Bible camp coming up. Still openings. You know, we'll take anybody that comes. If you have nieces, nephews, you know, whatever you got, you know, get with Stephanie. I don't see her here either. She's back in the back right now doing that. But she'll be out there. If not, get with one of the people that are up here. We can hook you up with whatever we need to. That's on June 28th through July 1st. Please lift up prayer. This is our first time at doing this in a long time. We're trying to expand our youth. We'd like to get youth back off in here. We think that that's be a good thing to do. And this is where we're starting. So pray to God that we're are successful in this, and he'll bless this enterprise and bring children to us. And we would like to thank everybody who made Father's Day dinner a wonderful success. All the ladies out there cooking and everything like that, y'all do a wonderful job every time, and you make us fatter every time we get done. Let's go to our prayer now. And I would, you know, we say a welcome to the visitors every time come in. I'd like to say welcome, family. We are all in the family of God. If you are a believer, if you have trusted in the finished work of the cross, we are all in the same family. And this is your house. This house is owned by God. And I thank everybody for coming out and worshiping God today. And if you don't know God, let me tell you, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, some 2,000 years ago, he took and he was crucified on a cross. He willingly gave his life up. God sent his son to walk 33 years on this earth, a perfect life, never did anything wrong, followed God's orders to the T, something none of us can do, something none of us could ever do. He sent him here to die for us on a cross. While yet we were still sinners, while we were taken and not worthy of the price that was paid for our salvation. And he did that out of love for us. The unloving people that we don't even care who he is. While we were unthought of, unknown at that particular time, and he did this some 2,000 years ago. How do we get into the family of God? We simply believe in that finished work of the cross and that it was applied to us for salvation. We trust in that for our salvation. That's all you have to do. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to be doused in water. Simply believing. You can do it right there where you say. You don't have to say a special prayer. Simply believe. Now you're a member of the family. Now, there's other things that come along. But if anybody hasn't believed, that's a simple way to do it. Don't let anybody ever tell you have to do anything. Believe in the family. work of the cross, your salvation. And if you haven't done that today, I hope you do that during our prayer this morning. Father, we thank you so very much for this place that you give, this sanctuary that you give us to come together and worship you. We thank you for this country that up to this time that we are free to worship in any way we wish, and nobody comes in that tells us how we have to do it. Father, we see things happen in the world. We see wars and rumors of wars. We see the degradation of society, how we just cannot believe that it has spiraled down from what we saw when we were youngsters growing up. And we don't know what we're going to give to our children going forward. But Father, we know that you have a plan. We know that we live in a fallen world. And we know that you made us a promise that if we believe in you, take care of everything. We know that you will. We ask that as we go forward through our days, that you would give us that peace that surpasses understanding. You would give us the ability to know you more. And Harley, we ask that you would give us the ability to do your work. Because Father, we're not put here for our own devices. We're here. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's our job as we're here. We don't do it well, Father. We don't. But we know that tell somebody about you. Maybe we're planting a seed. Tell somebody about who your son was and what he did. Maybe we're watering a seed that somebody else planted. We know the Holy Spirit uses every one of those things. And nobody's too far away from you, Father. Anybody can be saved. We ask that you would give us the ability to form the mission that you put us on earth to do it. Your will. Yeah, pray all this in Jesus' name. Magic. And because the first one was so great, I think we could have probably finished after that when it just went home. So, folks, it is not easy up here what this man is doing. And so we appreciate everything you do. And I know how hard it is, sir.
Service?
Yeah, it's different. It's different when you stand up here, folks. Trust me. So, let's do our scripture reading this morning. We're in 1 John 5. 11 through 14. 1 John 5, 11 through 14. I'll give you all a second to get there. I cheated. I'm already there. Okay, here we go. 1 John 5, verses 11 through 14. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath life, let me start that over. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written often, or I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
I thank you also for getting up here. People get a little nervous about, I guess I'm supposed to turn this on. Is that I guess I would be telling a story, but some 70 years ago, my speech teacher told me, if you get up here and you're not nervous, you're not going to do a good job. Well, I can get nervous and not do a good job too, so... Thank you, Brenda, too, for being our pianist. Good morning, church. Welcome to Kids Camp. If you're not already part of it, I'm sure Stephanie here will sign you up. It's a binding contract, but you don't need to worry about it. She'll put you to good use. Welcome to Lake Country Bible Church. I thank you for coming. Pastor Mike asked me to do this. At the time, I thought, no problem. Then, as you start preparing, you start realizing that it's awesome God, because you know what you're doing. You're telling God's Word. You're talking to God, about God. I don't know that I can think of anybody that's more difficult or awesome to try to talk with and about. A big family reunion dinner. A little 6-year-old girl asked to say the blessing. She had never done it before. Her dad was very concerned because, you see, at the family reunion, usually the elder statesman led everything. But they let her do it. So she prayed. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you, God, for Mom and Dad, my brother and my sis, and Papa and Grandpa, and all the other relatives she could remember. Then she said, thank you for the turkey, for the corn on the cob, for the potatoes. When she ran out of food, she said, thank you for the knife and the fork. At which point, the elder statesman said, amen. Then explain. See, we studied in Sunday school about children that didn't have forks and knives. I'm thinking, wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity to observe the beginning of Kids Camp. Thank you for the opportunity to see the campers from trip back to Grace Farm and the pews back here. We thank you, Father, for this country. Thank you for Pastor Mike McFarland. We pray, Father, for this congregation, that you'd be with it, you'd lead it in everything that we do. Bless this day. Bless each of us. Your service and to your glory, in Jesus' name, pray. I have to admit that I titled this message, What's New? And then I realized I couldn't meet the title even if I wanted to. If you listen to the news and if you listen to what's going on, they're mentioning a whole bunch of things in the news that are kind of frightening when you get right down to it, when you see what they're doing and what's going on in the country and what's going on in the legal system. And, oh my, you can go on and on and on. And I can't even begin to address all of those issues, but I do want to talk about two of them this morning. They're not really new. See, God says there's nothing new under the sun. So how do we deal with these problems that we see in the news? How do we deal with all of the issues that we see? Well, Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with thee." So what do we do? The first issue I kind of want to talk about is the drug issue. And the second issue is the ideologies that you see in the news. Drugs have picked away at our children, bit by bit, taking them by their lives, taking them out of the world existence totally, entirely. Some of them are really good kids, just tested. And the ideologies have picked away at our moral values in this country. They have literally destroyed any moral value in this country at all. What do what faithful Christians do, and what do we do as a church? And I want to address a couple of those two issues just a moment here this morning. Look at what we do. Let's look at the relatively new drug, fentanyl. It's a couple of 3 years old. Introduce the drug into the industry and the world. What they have to do is they have to offer it as a gift. Gift. Standard practice to offer it as a free gift. Try it, you'll like it. Satan's at work. Let's look at what a legal gift is. Last Sunday, if you were here, and if you were a father, you got a gift. Nice little lamp. Nice little lamp. But all fathers got one of these. And this illustrates the gift, and I want to talk to you about what a legal gift is, and I want to talk to you about the process of the gift, because you see, we don't really recognize what the process of the gift is, because we kind of go past what it's really about. A gift is the simplest form of agreement there is. It's a two-part agreement. There's an offer of the lamp. That's the first part, simple part. It's the simplest type of an arrangement anybody, two people, can have. The second part is when they brought it back there and I took possession of it, that's a completed gift. That's a completed gift. The legal gift. And once I take possession of it, if it's a gift, they can't get it back. No way to take it back. Oh, I could give it back to them, but legally, it's a completed gift under our legal system. Country and in the world, we've had a habit of giving gifts at Christmas time. Not saying and suggesting to you that what we call gifts is really a true gift, because it has some problems. True gift, it's a little extension of that. But I'm not going to go into that. But the one thing we do with the Christmas gifts is generally give these kiddos and the family members something good. See, you don't have to take possession of the gift. And you wouldn't if you knew it was a rattlesnake. You wouldn't if you knew it was stolen goods. You wouldn't do that if you know that. But drugs, oh, let's take it. Try it. You'll like it. And you see, we have this habit and we have this belief in this country that something for nothing. We like that. For kiddos who are not experienced, who aren't familiar with the drug culture and with the drug scene, and that's sometimes the better kids in the community because they really are the ones that can be told, try it, and you'll like it. They might see it as a gift because they're accustomed to accepting gifts. They accept it. You don't have to. You see, God's the same way. God has offered a gift. Permanent offer. Anybody accept his gift of grace. As my good colleague and my co-leader here this morning said, believers that believe get everlasting life. Because Christ died on the cross. You know, if you really read the story of Christ's death on the cross, what you read is, you see, Pontius Pilate really didn't want to kill Christ originally. He wanted to kind of scourge him. Any scourges was allowed by law. So basically, Christ was punished under the law that existed, even though it was a wrongful trial. He was punished by the scourges. And then you see the Jewish people and the people in the congregation wouldn't agree that that was sufficient. So now after he's punished once, it's a little double jeopardy under our laws. They crucify him. Not only that, but they made him carry that cross after being scourged, what was it, 95 times? So, this is what we look at. You see, I wouldn't want your child to take a drug because somebody offered it to him as a gift, because it was a gift. Likewise, I really don't want anybody to think that you can accept Christ's death on the cross, don't really mean it. See, I think you can't do that. You can't take it just because it's a gift. Got to take it because you believe. Terry mentioned that, made it very clear. You've got to take it because, and I would want anybody that accepts Christ to accept it because they know the story. They know, you see, that he was born of a virgin, that he suffered, that he was scourged those numerous times, that he was put on the cross to die, and he died. Third day he arose. So that's a gift. If you accept that, God will know. Whether you have anybody that you tell or not, God will know if you have accepted Christ. That's a completed gift. That's a completed gift that I encourage you to take, but I also encourage you to understand exactly what it is that you're getting. Just like I think people in this community and church, we ought to be first to do it, to encourage people when salesmen come by with proffered gifts, drug dealers come by with gifts. That we make people understand what's in it. We have enough problems with the business agencies in this country putting products in our products that are not good for us. Additives that they added to our water, they didn't tell you, but it was used as part of the cocktail the Germans gave the people, the death camps. They didn't tell us. They're finding out it's not so good. We ought to know what's in it if we're going to buy a product, and we certainly ought to know what's in the product and what we're getting. for believing, just simply believing in Christ, get everlasting life with God. Well, don't wait around. See, my partner for 20-some years, Steve, told me, he says, you know, I understand, North, what you're saying, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I understand what you're saying. John, another friend of Steve's, and I went over to Steve's house 2 weeks before he died, and we talked to him. I told John, I said, I'll go with you, but I can tell you what he's going to say. I understand what you're saying, but I just don't buy it. And we went by three times, Steve said that exact same thing. John and I both went to the funeral, and we were standing outside the church afterwards. Wife came up and talked to us, and she said, I want to thank you both. Accepted Christ 2 days before he died. Don't wait that late. Might not make it. If you have any questions, please contact us. Well, the other thing that I wanted to address and touch on today was all these ideologies that you're seeing in the newspapers, on TV and radio and what have you. The world's changing rapidly. All of those little things, LGBT, social justice, transgender, critical race, Black Lives Matter, bribery in the election systems, the election laws were messed up, intelligent design, the government's law, regulations, the organizations of our government, the executive orders, all these things are kind of new things going on. But they're not new. God told us there's nothing new under the sun. They've been done before. We're just calling them by different names. But what we've done, you see, is we've told everybody about these different ideologies. So here's the way we would destroy the church. What we do is we get you to buy into this one. And you to buy into this one. Don't have to be the same thing. We don't have to both believe the same thing. We just believe one of these that's anti-Christ. And we've got you out of the church. And we get this person over here to buy into the Black Lives thing. And we've got that person out of the church. And we get you to buy into transgender over here. And we've got you out of the church. We have destroyed this country. Literally destroyed this country. This country has no moral values whatsoever. Save and except for right here, this church, perhaps the church down the street and the church someplace else. So what do we do? What does God say we do? What do we do? Well, it is interesting to note that, you see, if you read the newspaper, you find out that people are beginning to come back to the church. This is where we come in, because we've got to encourage those people to come back to the church, to get back into this system, because so many people have left. My pastor friend in Dallas tells us that the churches, all the small churches, are losing people. We've been trying, and you are part of it, to grow congregation. Not only in numbers, faith, prayer. For see, they say now, you know, woman is man and man is woman. We have a Supreme Court judge that doesn't, I mean, she's a woman, she's, or I guess she says she's a woman, but she doesn't know how to define one. And so I am asking myself, do I call her Mr. Justice or Mrs. Justice or just Justice? Because I don't think she's either one. Because if you can't define the terms, how in the world can you make a decision? Deuteronomy 22:5 says, a woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord God. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say we should be doing? Well, the Bible does say in Proverbs 14:15, the naive believe everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. It's all just repackaged of anti-God rhetoric. Give it a different name. So what is Christian response do to woke? It has been shown, you see, and recently if you've been watching the news, it has been shown that we can make inroads by who we buy from. So two companies are having a tough time making the same kind of money they were because they have been promoting the woke. So that's one way we could do it, you see, but that's what the newspaper says. Sir Francis, St. Francis, reportedly hoeing in his garden. He was asked if the end of the world is coming today, what would you be doing? He answered, I'd be hoeing in my garden. What do we do? What do we as a church here do? I want to talk to you about, I can't tell you all of the things because I couldn't finish another couple of hours if I told you everything the Bible says. Well, I want to address just two things God tells us to do. Chronicles 7:14. This verse is in the message because it's my wife's favorite. It's the way I do what my colleague said in our Sunday school this morning. Show affection for your wife. Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Lord, He knows we need healing. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer. 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto all perseverance, supplication for all saints. our church recognizes the importance of prayer. The reason they have the meeting back here, the reason they have the Wednesday night meeting, and you all are invited, all of you are invited to these. And I know it's hard and difficult for people that work, but anybody that really is able to come, you're welcome to come participate. The truth of the matter is, those people that are participating in these activities have seen really wonderful answers to prayer. Are they all good? No, not all of them. Not all of them, but we have seen wonderful answers to prayer. The truth of the matter is, no matter how good you're doing, no matter how prayerful you are, no matter how well you're praying, we all could do better. My wife and I made two decisions early on in our marriage, and we didn't take time to talk to the Lord. Both would tell you over and over again, taking 5 minutes to talk to each other and God for a few minutes would not have done. It wasn't that they were bad, wasn't criminal or anything, just wasn't a good investment. I ordinarily put my money where I'm going to lose it all. How many of us stood at a stoplight? I know you probably think it's a little crazy, but I liked my wood carving back when I was a lawyer, and I didn't have much time to do it, so I'd put it in the seat beside me, and some of those stop lights were almost 5-10 minutes, and I could pick up my knife. It's not a wise thing to do in a car, particularly when somebody might, anyway, but I don't recommend that, but I could have prayed. When I was taking chemo, let me tell you, that first day I would have rather they had shot me doing what they did. Of course, I was kind of naive. They said, well, this is going to hurt. So I never did tell them it hurt. And they told me after I'd hurt all day that they could have given me medication. Oh, well. Anyway, I thought I was supposed to tough it out. While I was taking chemo, I had a friend come up to me at a meeting. What he said was, North, 4:30 every day is your time. I said, what? He said, North, 4:30 every day is your time. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? He says, 4:30 every day. We're praying, my wife and I are praying for you, for your chemo. You can count on it. 4:30 would come. Oh, what a good feeling that was in my heart. 4:30 in the afternoon, I was sitting there and I was thinking, they're praying for me. They're praying for me. How many times now could I have done that I didn't do that? For somebody that's really incurable, perhaps, make them feel like somebody was paying attention. You wouldn't even have to go by and see them every day. You could tell them you're going to be there, wherever you are, praying for them at 4:30. And they could look at the clock. Oh, you have to be duty-bound and to follow up and do it if you're really saying that. A little joy praying. John Gibbons, a friend of mine in Dallas, drove to work every day for 25 years with the same man, single man, never married, They worked at the same place. They rode in the same car. They took the same path through the same traffic lanes, downtown Dallas, worked for a company that you might know, Southwestern Bell, for 25 years. Every day, John would ask his friend if he would accept Christ. Oh, no, no. He was sort of like my partner. I understand what you're saying, but I really don't buy it. They both were going to be terminated for age, if nothing else, about the same time, even though his friend had worked there longer than he had. And they rode to the office on that last day, and John didn't say anything. His friend said something to him. I think I'd like to do that now. See, John prayed every day. There's a certain joy in doing this. Now, the second thing that the Bible tells us to do, told us to do it way back in the early days of the Bible. It still tells us to do it. It isn't going to change. In fact, God says in the Bible that if it was going to change, He would alert us. He would give us notice in it. But it's going to change. But we need to share. See, we need to share in the room back here and here in church in the kids' camp. We need to share at Camp Grace. We need to share. That's where we keep that fellowship one with another. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." This is necessary to stand firm. Necessary effort on behalf of this congregation to stand firm against woke, against those isms, all of those isms. For God's sakes, the butchering of children because of transgender. What we have to do is we have to keep our fellowship going. And if this country has its way and it is seeking to push governmental changes to get us into a whole different kind of a government country, they called it democratic in Russia. It's communist. They call it democratic in China. Communist. Listen to them. They call it democratic here. We need the fellowship. Philippians 1:3-5 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every day prayer of mine. You are making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from that first day until now. Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made comfortable unto death. John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Right here. Right here in the kids' camp. It's right here back here in this room. Right here on Wednesday night with the prayer meeting. Everybody is invited and free and encouraged guests. So, have kids camp coming up. I'm sure that Stephanie would be welcoming anybody that would offer any suggestions or ideas to her. She's had the unbelievable job and task, you see, of starting from scratch. Oh, we did this, I guess. I wasn't here, but some 20 years ago or something. We did this, and we have some games, and we have some lessons, and we have some things, but you're starting from scratch. Those of you that have any ideas or suggestions, I'm sure she would feel very much moved and encouraged. It'd almost be like you're praying for her if you gave her an idea, I think. So, yes, those ideas to her, help her to get this going. Next year, when we know how it was done this year, why, it'll be simple, I guess. But it's tough this year, and Stephanie's working very hard on it. That's, you see, that's the way fellowship. Well, there are other things that we should do. You see, we should stand strong, and we shouldn't fear, and all of those too. Those two are the biggies. Pray, and to pray some more. To pray specific prayers for those things that we really want God to know about. I've often wondered how many times I'm sitting at the stoplight. I thought about praying to God for something. Whatever reason. Or not, I didn't. Could have, should have, would have really been wise. But God doesn't know what my prayer was. Oh, He probably does, really, because He knows what I'm doing. He knows when I knows. He knows where we are in this knows that this congregation, the leadership in this church, speaking, let everybody that comes here know they're teaching, preaching of God's word, what God says. Any one of us, fly or shy away, anyway, on any little, you should be called on the car. Now you know, by Brad, pastor that stands up here, nervous. God's work, trying to share word with everything that He can do. Help His congregation grow in wisdom, love, and patience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity that You've given us to speak and to teach Your word. We pray, Father, that it meets with Your will and with Your ways, and that we actually do exactly as we promise we try to do, that is to share Your word to our congregation, help the congregation grow in wisdom, love, and patience. Pray, Father, that You be with Stephanie today, with all of the workers in the congregation that will be putting up tents. Can you believe it, Father? Tents in Your church. Oh my, we've already seen some of them. Hope to goodness they don't start a campfire. But anyway, we pray, Father, that You be with Kids Camp, those kids, especially those children, each and every one of them. Don't know how many yet, and don't know how many it will be. And Stephanie hopes for a whole bunch and pray that she's right. work with the people in this community that see our sign and our information as they bring children so that we can share the gospel love with the young that need to hear these things in Christ's name and for His sake.